My dearly beloved in Christ, when the cholera epidemic arrived in Eastern Europe in 1832, there were 100,000 deaths in France alone. At that time, the miraculous medal was beginning to be distributed. Our Lady appeared in 1830. This was 1832. The members of the Sisters of Charity, the order to whom Our Lady gave the miraculous medal, began to wear the medal and did not contract cholera, despite exposing themselves excessively to the dangers of the epidemic, helping the sick. This fact became known, and the number of people who carried it grew, and the letters of gratitude to the Blessed Virgin multiplied, attesting to the protection received in many other countries. The case of a school in the Louvre Square is well known. All the children of this school wore the miraculous medal except Carolyn Nenain, an 8-year-old belonging to the parish of Saint Germain, Auxerrois. This little girl contracted the deadly disease, but no one at the school got it. In other words, she had the disease, she was attending the school, but no one in the school got it. The next day, the little girl received the miraculous medal with great piety. She got healed and returned to class with her classmates. At the time of St. John Bosco, a great epidemic happened in Italy. St. John Bosco said to his students, "We're going to help the sick, but you're not going to catch the sickness. You have to be in the state of grace." And they did. They helped all these people who were sick and victims of the epidemic, but none of the boys got it. My dearly beloved in Christ, God is greater than any problem I have. God is omnipotent. Nothing is impossible to God. God is infinite wisdom. Nothing is difficult to God. Nothing takes God off guard. He's goodness without measure, with an infinite concern for our temporal and spiritual welfare. Isn't this sufficient to make us to place all our confidence in him? There's a story of St. Ignatius of Loyola. He lived more than 400 years ago, and he was planning a pilgrimage to the Holy Land and landed in Cyprus. And there were only 3 boats going out of the harbor to his destination. And there was a boat that was owned by the Turks, and they had little desire for a Catholic priest to get on board, and that left the harbor and went on its voyage and sunk. And then there was a large Venetian vessel that was very comfortable, but since he was a poor priest, they didn't want to take him on board. And that left the harbor and then later hit a sandbar and then was dashed to pieces. But there was an old small rickety boat. And then they were glad to take this priest aboard, and then they arrived safely at their destination. It's no doubt that St. Ignatius entrusted himself to God. It shows the kind of confidence we must have, the kind of confidence that too many of us lack. There's too many who mistrust or forget that Almighty God is not only watching over us, but caring for us and helping us. Others who take too much for granted, in a sense that we don't thank him for his blessings and protection. My dearly beloved in Christ, many situations in life are gloomy. Many circumstances are discouraging, and if we did not have faith, it could lead us to despair. Untimely death of a loved one, financial trouble, sickness or an incurable disease, health problems, family troubles. In every single case like this, we need supreme confidence in the support of Almighty God. Some turn away from him and even turn against him, who's their best and only support. My dearly beloved in Christ, picture St. Ignatius in a hopeless situation. He hoped against hope, but he put his trust in God. My dearly beloved in Christ, our trust in God rests on a solid foundation. In Scripture it says, no one has hoped in the Lord and has been confounded. If you reverse that means, everyone who's trusted in God and asked his help has been helped. The Lord is good to those who hope in him, in Lamentations. And they shall call upon my name and I will hear them, said the prophet Zacharias. Remember, all things happen by God's appointment or by God's permission. So we must rely not on ourselves, but on God. St. Teresa of Avila said, O God of my soul, who can adequately express what you give to those who trust in you, and what they lose who, having had ecstasies, trust in themselves? There are people who levitated and then had ecstasies, were very spiritual, and then later became proud and then lost their faith, lost their souls. But she's saying, who can adequately express what God gives to those who confide in him? My dearly beloved in Christ, St. Francis de Sales said, when you confide entirely in God and try to serve him faithfully, which you're doing, God takes care of you. The greater the confidence placed in him, the greater his care. Nor is there any danger of his care failing, since he has infinite love for those who trust in him. So there's no chance that God's going to fail you, because he has infinite love for you. It is in times of grave necessity, like we're going through now, that we can find out whether we really trust in God. When you think about our Lord during his public life, he had to pay the tax, so he told one of the apostles to go out fishing. They caught a fish, and in the fish's mouth was a coin they needed for the tax, to pay the tax. And then people had followed him. They were hungry. He fed 5,000 people. He calmed the storm on the Sea of Galilee. He cast out demons. He raised the dead to life. He changed water into wine. He cured the sick. In taking care of our daily affairs and needs, we should not be carried away by worries. Excessive worry. Yeah, reasonable worry, that's fine. But keep the balance. We should take reasonable, moderate care, and then leave everything up to divine providence. In other words, do our part in life, and then leave the rest to God's care, letting God direct all things to their proper end, and to manifest his will in us. When the storm arose on the Sea of Galilee and Jesus was asleep in the boat, his apostles woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. But he answered, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Was there not reason for them to be fearful, to lose their peace of mind when they were threatened with death? And all their efforts to save themselves had been futile? No, not if they had faith that God was with them. And that's one of my favorite prayers at the end of an exorcism, when the evil spirit, after the evil spirit leaves, and there's a sign that he's left, you know, we rejoice, and then there's a prayer we say, and it says, let us fear no evil, for the Lord is with us. Let us fear no evil, because the Lord is with us. This end should have been the peace of the apostles. This should be ours, the possession of God. In our most difficult moments, we must remember that God has a plan in our lives. God's loving care for us will never fail. Despite the evils of our age and the hardships of life, God watches over us, protects us, and acts as a loving father towards us. He will draw good from the evil that he permits to occur in our lives. And I just, before we close, mention a few things about Lourdes. For over 150 years, people have gone to the baths there to be cured of the miraculous water. And also, they've come from all over the world and stayed in the hospitals. And It's especially to be noted with regard to Lourdes that at the hospital, the patients are not separated according to disease, only according to gender. They're packed together as close as the beds will fit, regardless of contagion. At the baths, the water is changed only twice a day. And there's thousands of people that go through that. This means that patients with running sores, cancerous growths, and every kind of infectious disease are plunged in one after another. Miraculously, neither in the hospitals nor in the baths has there ever been a case of a patient becoming worse or contracting a new disease. So at Lourdes, Our Lady displays this property, from her divine son to keep germs and bacteria and viruses in their place, or to cure them. Doctors have tried to close Lourdes. Doctors have tried to close Lourdes on the grounds that it was unsanitary, but failed in their attempts because they could not find a single case in 150 years or more of infection resulting from a visit to the shrine. So I'd just like to close with the story. A devastating plague broke out in Lisbon in 1432. All who could do so fled in terror from the city and thus carried the plague to every corner of Portugal. Thousands of men, women, and children of all classes were swept away by the cruel sickness. So virulent was the epidemic that people died everywhere, at the table, in the streets, in their houses, in the shops, in the marketplaces. To use the words of historians, it flashed like lightning from person to person, or from a coat, hat, or any garment that had been used by the plague stricken. Priests, doctors, and nurses were carried off in such numbers that the bodies of many lay unburied in the streets, so the dogs licked up the blood and ate the flesh of the dead, becoming as a result infested with the dread disease and spreading it still more widely among the unfortunate people. Among those who assisted the dying was Bishop Andre Diaz. This holy man, seeing the epidemic far from diminishing, grew every day in intensity, and despairing of human help, urged the unhappy people to call on the holy name of Jesus. He was seen everywhere the disease was fiercest, urging, imploring the sick and dying, as well as those who had not yet been stricken down, to repeat, "Jesus, Jesus." Write it on cards, he said, and keep those cards on your person. Place them at night under your pillows. Place them on your doors. But above all, constantly invoke with your lips this prayer. He went about as an angel of peace, filling the sick and dying with courage and confidence. The poor sufferers felt within them a new life, and calling on Jesus, they carried similar cards in their pocket. Then summoning them to the great church of St. Dominic, he once more spoke to them in the power of the name of Jesus. Blessed water in the same name of Jesus, and ordered the people to sprinkle themselves with it and sprinkle it on their faces of the sick and dying. Wonder of wonders, the sick got well. The dying arose from their agonies. The plague ceased, and the city was delivered in a few days from the most awful scourge that it had ever visited it. The news spread to the whole country, and all began to call with one accord on the holy name of Jesus. In an incredibly short time, all Portugal was freed from the dread disease. The grateful people, mindful of the marvels he had witnessed, continued their love and confidence in the name of our Savior, so that in all their troubles and dangers, when evils of any kind threatened them, they invoked the name of Jesus. Processions of the holy name of Jesus were made monthly. Altars were raised in honor of his blessed name, so that the greatest curse that had ever fallen upon the country was transformed into its greatest blessing. For long centuries, this great confidence in the name of Jesus continued in Portugal and then spread to Spain, to France, and to the whole world. Let us fear no evil, because the Lord is with us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.